Hello and welcome to this week's episode of I Think I'm Human Too. I am very excited. If you are listening in, you're going to hear three voices today. We have Andrew Diaz with us. And then a voice you recognize, Rafael, my husband, is here. So,
hey,
Andrew, I'm very excited to have.
This is my guy, everybody. This is my guy, for real.
Rafael and Andrew are childhood friends and
brothers.
Anywho, so they have been friends for years. Andrew's actually even in our wedding. That's how close they are. And we have, okay, so a lot of different things. He's known online as Stock Market Wolf. If you followed Rafael and I for quite some time, then you've seen him there. I love Andrew, obviously, past the personal side. He is so good at, he's, again, the financial world. And males versus females, just in general, it's a very broad gap. It's a very large gap. And Andrew does a very good job at articulating to not only newbies, but also anybody out there. We get a lot of finance questions. Rafael gets them a lot. And we have learned everything, we as in Rafael, have learned everything from Andrew. So I figured while we're out in, here in California, we're going to sit down with him. We've been talking about doing this forever. And past that, obviously, if you guys have listened to Human 2 for quite some time, the vulnerability is very important to me. And Andrew has gotten to where he is today because of what he's gone through. And I think that's really with everyone in life. So one, I just want to open you up there. I want you to share your storyline. We're at Andrew's house today, so if you hear a lot of noises, he's got some babies and some puppies. So, but that's so normal. I say that for everyone. We're all human too. We all have animals and children. So, Okay. So I want you to share a little bit about your background, who you are, what you got, like, where you came from, all the fun stuff. You just have such a beautiful storyline, and again, it's driven you to the life that you're living today. And I think a lot of people are inspired by that and are learning from it. So
sure. So I guess where it all really started for me was back in high school. Both Rafael and I went to St. Bonaventure High, which was at that time, I think, like within the top 25 in the nation for football. And so as we were playing football, I learned a lot about the championship mindset of like what it takes to be a champion, not only on the field, but off the field. Like that was the whole motto, right? And a lot of the players, they went on to, some even went on to play in the NFL. Me, I'm only 5'6". I knew I was not going to go in no NFL. A strong 5'6". Let's not get that twisted.
Not the handshaking. This episode is going to be so interesting. If you're listening, you should maybe pause this and go watch it.
Yeah, for sure. Go to YouTube right
there. Yeah. I was a big 5'6". But anyway, I learned about the championship mindset, right? And so I had this initial dream of like, you know, I'm going to go to a four-year university, maybe I'll walk on, maybe do special teams. I don't know. I just had this vision of what I thought my life was going to be. And then towards the tailor end of my 18, of being 18 years old, I found out that I was going to be having a son. And my son was born, my birthday is January. My son was born October 31st, 2009. And so no more four-year university. No more going out.
Wait, you didn't go to college?
So I did, but instead of going, I initially was trying to go to San Jose State. Okay. One of our other good friends, his name is Arthur Gilbreth, right? Yeah. And so Ver and I, we went from kindergarten to our freshman year at high school at China Islands to then St. Bonaventure together, and we were going to go to college together.
You and Art?
Yeah. And we played with the same team.
Yeah.
I'm going to be learning a lot today.
We played baseball together, and we played baseball on the same team all the way from the age of 5 till freshman year.
This is another guy that was in our wedding as well.
Yeah. So, like, me and Ver are like this. Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah. And so I thought I was like, okay. But when I found out I was going to be having my son, I was like, okay, I need to buckle up. And I remember when I went to go and tell my parents that I was having a baby at the age of 19 years old. He knows my parents.
What'd they say?
My mom was just extremely disappointed. Mm-hmm. And then my dad, he's like more chill. Yeah. But he said something that stayed with me, and it always stays with me, and something that I teach my kids too, where it's just like, any guy can have a child, but it takes a man to raise one, right? And that's what my dad had said, right?
Well,
you got a man up.
Yeah.
You have responsibility. And so I got a job. I went to work at the mall at Champs Sporting Goods.
Cute.
Yep.
Cute. $7.25 an hour.
Oh my gosh.
Working 20 hours every 2 weeks.
Oh wow. So
in 1 month was 40 hours. Where like 40 hours is just like a regular week. Yeah. Like I was part-time. But I was part-time because I enrolled myself into a junior college, which was Ventura College. And my mom wanted me to be a nurse.
Okay.
And because, you know, you hear nurses make good money and blah, blah, blah. And like, you could travel and blah, blah, blah. I was like, I ain't going to be no fucking nurse. Right. I want to, like, if I'm going to do something, I want to be a doctor. Right. So then I was like, I want to be a doctor. And I love my mom, but we always butt heads. Well, you know, but rightfully so, though, because she instilled in all three of my siblings, or me and my two siblings, the three of us, the importance of education and working hard. And my dad got injured before I was born. He was in construction. My mom was a grocery checker who now works for the school and helps like the kids with special needs and stuff. But prior to that, she had to go and work grocery job to make sure that we're good, you know? And so she gave up her dreams to ensure that we were good, you know? And so I wanted to make sure that I did good. And then by me having a son young, it was almost like a slap in her face, right? And both of my siblings were doing really well in school. My brother's 4.5 GPA, my sister 4.5 GPA, both went to UCLA. Here I am, like what I felt at that time, the black sheep of the family, where it's like, he has his son young, he's working at the mall, he's going to a junior college, you know? And I was just like, fuck.
What was your mindset in that? No, you're totally fine.
You're totally fine.
What was the mindset in that of like?
The mindset initially was just like, okay, I'm just going to try and figure it out. Like I didn't really have the drive yet.
Stress is one of those things that is inevitable for pretty much every single human being. And I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm human too. And I'm going through a massive life change. We are picking up and moving across the country. And the stress has definitely been affecting my sleep. I have always been a magnesium girly when I try to go to sleep because it helps me. Magnesium Breakthrough is one of the ones that I use. And I've talked to you guys about it many times. It's Bio-Optimizer. I have used it for quite some time. It's the magnesium that I take every night before I go to sleep. It helps me fall asleep, stay asleep, get good sleep. But not only that, when I wake up in the morning, I don't feel groggy. I feel energized. I feel ready to go. It's something that I truly love. And it also helps regulate me. I know that sounds a little cuckoo, but I get a little constipated, especially during life changes. My habits change, my eating habits change, and then I get clogged up and I just don't feel good. So not only great sleep, but it also helps me keep regulated on the bathroom side of things. So it's fine. We're all human too. Okay. I'm serious. Magnesium Breakthrough is one of my favorite magnesiums because it has all seven kinds of magnesium in it. There's multiple brands out there that I've tried and they just don't have all the types of magnesium. It's got like one, maybe two, three at max, but Magnesium Breakthrough is truly one of my favorites. I take it every single night before I go to bed. I take two capsules and I just love it. Again, I do take my magnesium before sleep because it does like help relax your body. So I don't take them in the mornings. I only take them at night. We do have a code with Human 2. So if you're listening to this and you want to try out some magnesium, I highly suggest it because again, stress, constipation, regulation, just in general, a lot of people are lacking a lot of vitamins, nutrients, and most definitely magnesium. So I'll get the code for you guys to try them out. You are going to go to biooptimizers.com/human2. Again, that is biooptimizers.com/human2. The code is all one word, all lowercase, human2, and you're going to get 10% off any order on biooptimizer.com. Happy sleeping, happy regulation, and remember, if you're stressed, that's okay. We're all human too, and I hope this helps during the season of chaos.
Like the drive comes here in this second where I'm working at the mall and I'm scheduled to work, but I have a test for anatomy and there is this person that I was always covering for. And so I had asked this person, I'm not going to say her name, but I asked this person, I was like, hey, can you cover for me? And she's like, no, I'm busy, or I got some family stuff or whatever. And I was like, in the back of my head, I was like, you bitch. Because like, I always go, bro. Like,
yeah.
I'm always like that person that wears my shirt off my back. Like, I'm going to give you the shirt off my back, right? And I'm just like, damn, I need this because I need to pass this because VC had at the time, if you get a certain GPA, they will help you with a scholarship to another school of your choosing within their parameter, right? Also, I knew if I got a good GPA, I could apply for like grants and scholarships in case it wasn't one of those schools, right? So I had this vision that I was going to go and study biology somewhere, right? I was really into science. So long story short, she said she couldn't do it. And then so while I'm at work, like on my lunch break, I'm trying to cram. I say study, but I was trying to cram. And at the time, the social media was Facebook. So I saw on Facebook, she's out freaking YOLOing with friends and shit, you know? And then, so then I got mad and I overreacted off of emotion. And I responded to her in a text message, you effing B or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Like, super mad. Well, went to the manager. I was let go. Harassment, right? And I was like, fuck, you know? So I never knew this. So on the way home, the same day I got fired, bro, the same day I got fired, I'm on the way home and my mom calls me, Andrew, I need you to get diapers for Tay. And I'm like, Tay is my oldest, by the way. He's 14 years old now. And so he's almost the age where I had him.
That's so crazy. In 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years.
Crazy.
And so that's wild.
That just tripped me out. Yeah. Okay.
And so I'm on my way to Babies R Us, when Babies R Us still existed. Mm-hmm. And I go to buy one little pack of diapers. I'm in line. There's people behind me. Car doesn't go through. And I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, run it again.
Yeah. Try it again. Yeah.
Don't go through. And then...
Because you've had you full-time, right?
So in the beginning, it was 50-50. Okay. And then I started taking him more. Okay. And then legally today, to fast forward, I'm not going to get into the legal stuff, but legally today, he's 100% physically mine. And parental rights all mine.
Okay.
Physically and legally, he is all mine. Okay. And he's been living with me.
So I'm sure that was a big part of the drive too.
That was a big part of the drive too. And that was also a lot of the stress because it wasn't a good split initially. Yeah. So then it was a lot of like tension and like stress, unnecessary stress, you know. But that was part of the drive. But so I get home, and my mom's like, "Where's the diapers?" And I was like,
Oh, you had to leave. Nobody helped you.
And I was like, my car didn't go through. And she was like,
yeah, nobody paid for him. Nobody paid for him.
That's crazy. Yeah. If I would have seen that, I would be like, immediately, we would pay. That's so wild.
And I felt like so crazy because like, I felt like the minority in there with, you know, the young, typical teenage kid, you know, where it's a teenage dad. I was like, fuck, you know? Yeah. So I get home. I was like, where's the diapers? I was like, oh, car didn't go through. She's like, well, good thing you got a job. I was like, well, I just got fired. And at that, she didn't even like say anything. She just looked at me and just walked away. Right? And then I was,
what did that do to you at that point?
Yeah.
Fucking go, man. And then, fuck.
Oh, no, that's okay.
No, this for sure. For sure.
So I was like, fuck. I was like, I need to do something. Right. So I've always, whenever I get like, have my moments, I just dive into books. Initially, it was like comic books and stuff to like get away from certain things. But I was like, all right, I need a book. I need something to help me. So both my dad and my mom are my biggest supporters. My dad, I feel like more so because he would take me all to my practices. He would come to all the games. So my mom, but he was, you know, I'm his son. You know, he wants to help me become a man. So he took me to, it was either Borders or Barnes & Noble. And I'm looking through the religious aisle first. I'm trying to see if there's any like religious book that's going to help me. And I'm trying to read some and I'm like, no, this isn't it. I need something different. And so I go into the business/finance aisle and I shit you fucking not. I shit you not. It was like the freaking, if you needed a sign, this was the sign. The entire bookshelf was Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. The entire shelf.
Just
stocked with that book. They were promoting that book for whatever reason.
And it's like purple and like, you can't miss it.
You can't miss it.
So when you read that, what was like, when you looked at that, you were like, here, I gotta pick this up.
Here I am, a poor dad. Okay. Here the title literally freaking says, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I'm like, I gotta read this. And I open it up. And then what stuck and what kept me reading is the title of the first chapter says, the rich don't work for money. And I was like, what? And then underneath there's a little paragraph, the rich don't work for money, the middle class and poor people work for money, the rich have money work for them. And I never heard that concept. Never heard that concept. Because growing up, it was about, you need to go to school, you need to get a good job, you get your house or whatever, you pay your bills, and that's how you live life. And never about, you need to start investing, you need to start doing this, you need to start doing that with your money, you need to plan for taxes, none of thing like that. So I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm 19 years old, I'm reading this, I'm like, dude, what? So I got captivated by it and right off the bat. And then the first chapter really brings you in because it talks about like how him and his friends were learning and stuff. I'm not going to get into the book.
But do you suggest people reading it?
I highly suggest that if you are going to read a book, this is the first book you should read.
For males or females, both? Or both?
Both.
100%. But in that book, you're going to learn three concepts. The importance of investing, the importance of business, and the importance of real estate. Okay, so I didn't have money for real estate. I didn't know what I was going to do for business. Investing seemed like the only reachable thing because it involved computers. Also in high school, I was a gamer. So I liked playing video games. And so I was like, okay, this involves computers. This may be something I could do. And then the book is, they talked about like doing side hustles and stuff to like raise money. So then I got another job in a foot store. And what I would do is slang shoes, specifically Jordan shoes. As an employee, I would get a discount. Okay. And then I would flip them on eBay. And then I started getting good with that, where then I would then flip and make some money. And then I started going to garage sales and trying to find items and flipping. So essentially like eBay arbitrage is what it's called now. Which if you guys need money, right, here's a hack, right? And people talk about this. You go to the dollar store. There's a little app you could get, and you find out what it's selling at the dollar store and what it's selling on eBay. And then you find a popular item, and then you just do arbitrage, right? And people make really good money just doing eBay arbitrage, you know, garage sales. Sometimes you could find furniture that's all jacked up, refurbish it, make it look good. Yeah. Anyway, so I was doing that to try and put money into the market. And what I started to do every weekend when I was going to school is every weekend I would go to the public library and read books on anything trading, investing, money, finances, personal finance, budget, anything that I can get my hands on to help me learn more about the dollar, right? And how to use this dollar to go to work, right? And I was like, okay. So fast forward a little bit. I end up getting a scholarship from a junior college to go to Cal Lutheran University. Okay, Cal Lutheran University is a private school. Kowloon was very expensive. I had enough scholarship to cover half. The other remaining portion, I had to take out student loans. However, because of whatever I was qualified for, I wouldn't be able to do a full 4 years. So I had to finish. Luckily, I did did some stuff at JC, but I had to finish the rest. I had to essentially cram my 3 years at Kowloon. So I was taking 20 units at a time. For those that don't know, 12 to 14 units is considered a full load. 20 units is like overkill.
Yeah.
So I had to get a letter from the dean to allow me
to
do so. It's safe to say. Because
burnout is crazy at that age.
Yeah, for sure.
Freaking crazy.
Yeah.
It's safe to say I barely graduated with a C-. Okay, so I was unsuccessful doing this, right? I had dreams. I was going to go to med school and whatever. But while at Kowloon, I connected really well with all of my teachers.
Okay.
And I would go in office hours when I can. And what my days would consist of, so you guys can understand the hustle, is I would get up at 6, get to school by 7. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I would be there from 7 to about 3:30. And then after, I would come home, see Tay for a little bit. And then I would go to work at the mall again from between 5 to 10. And then I would get off. I would get home by like 10:30, 11. I would have dinner. I would study whatever I could for school to like midnight 1. And then I would read these self-help books for another hour. So I would go to sleep by like 2 to 3 a.m. I would get up by 6 a.m. And I did that for 3 years of my life. Just straight. I was just so driven. I would listen to Eric Thomas E.T. the Preacher tapes to like help motivate me. And there was this one video where the video was, how bad do you want to breathe? And go watch that video, because I used to watch that video all the time. But I would cry myself. I would cry to sleep a lot because I felt like I was going nowhere. And I was putting in all this hustle and I had all this dream, but I was spread too thin. I had my son, I had work, I had school, I had more pressure at an age of 20 than some people have now at the end.
Yeah,
my parents helped me in terms of like, they gave me a place to stay. They made sure Tay and I had food all the time, but everything else was on me.
Yeah.
Providing for him was on me. And I'm glad here to say, as a parent, I've never missed a school event of his. I never missed a sporting event of his. I've always been super supportive of him. And I listened to my dad of, you got to be a man, right? And so anyway, I graduate to C-, but all my teachers saw how hard I was working. And there was this program for the A-plus students, right? And there would be recruiters that come to the school to try and help people find a job, specifically in like the biotech industry. And they were like temp recruiters. So they work for a temp agency. So every time they came, my teachers would tell me like, hey, we're going to have this event for these students, but we want you to come. Like, and I would always get these looks from these students like, oh, you don't belong here, bro.
Right.
Student, bro. Like, what are you doing here?
You're a C-student.
You're a C-student. And I'm like, bro, you couldn't wear my shoes, man. And so every time these recruiters came, I always came suited and booted. Always this nice slacks, a nice button up with a tie, and I wear a little cheesy sweater vest. Try and look like as like what is the word?
Preppy.
Yes, preppy. There you go.
As right.
Preppy.
Because you felt you weren't supposed to be in that space. Like
you wanted to look the part.
I wanted to look the part, right? And I'm really personable. So like I would just talk and just vibe with these people. So when I graduated, I went and tried EMT for a little bit. I didn't like EMT because I couldn't separate work from home. We got a call one time where it was a young 5-year-old that had domestic violence. His dad had beat him up. And
how do you just set the chills?
And I was just like, I can't do this. You know, I can't. And then I couldn't go to med school because I didn't have the grades for it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, shit. I was like, maybe I'm going to be a nurse. You know?
Right.
You know? Is that shit?
So, I went back to St. Bonaventure. Well, prior to going to St. Bonaventure, I had had two interviews at Amgen, okay, which it's a Fortune 500 biotech company. Through those recruiters, they got me an interview at Amgen, two separate interviews for two different departments at Amgen. I had bombed both. And I knew I had bombed both. And after the interviews, I was sweating like a dog. And like, I had worn a green shirt. It was like dark green here.
Dark green to the arm.
You could see it. Yeah.
Right. And I was like, damn. So I went back to St. Bonaventure and I asked if I can be an admin or do something, anything at this point. I was like desperate, you know, because I graduated and my mom was like, all right, you need to start getting a job.
He's been
helping you with college. Like, you need to start doing something. And that's also why I feel like I didn't want to go to med school either, is because it would be another 8 years of not really making money. Right. So I was like, OK. So I went back to St. Bonaventure. As a private school, you don't need a teaching credential to teach. You just need to have the degree you're talking in. So I still graduated. I had a biology degree. Okay. They're not going to ask me my grades, you know. So I ended up getting a part-time chemistry job. There was a teacher that left on maternity leave. So I came in as a substitute for 6 months. And on the first day of school at St. Bonaventure, I get a call from Amgen that I got the job.
Crazy.
And I was like, and this was like almost 4 weeks later. I thought it was done because like retail space, like call within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So like, that's what I was normal.
You're starting within 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're starting within 2 weeks. Yeah. And I'm just like, bro, like I haven't heard in 4 weeks and I got this. Like I was like tripping out. So I went home and so when I got the call, it was during lunch. At the end of school, I put my 2 weeks in. So literally on the first day of teaching,
you were like, yep, I gotta go. I gotta go. These kids ain't for me.
So I put my 2 weeks in, and it was a tough shit because Bonaventure gave me, they essentially saved my life, because if I wouldn't have won at Bonaventure, I don't know what I would have done, right? And a lot of us that have gone through there, that where we came from, we all say the same thing. And so I was torn for that reason, but I looked at it, for me, I looked at it of what is my potential here at Bonaventure? Be a teacher and maybe a coach. But it's not like I'm going to go and be a principal.
I want to stop you there, not to interrupt you, and I want you to continue the story, but I think that's a really good point. And I was just on a trip with all females, and we were saying how much our emotions affect our livelihood. Because when we're making that decision to walk away from something, we say, well, we feel bad, or they just took day one. If it was a female in that position, we probably wouldn't walk away.
No, you would try to do a year. Wow. Yeah.
Anyone listening, I think that's a very powerful statement. And someone at that table had said, if we were a man in this role, would we care? Or would this email be like anxiety sending the email? No, we would say, here's our 2 weeks, let's walk away. But when you had just said that, of like, what is my potential here? That's very powerful. And I think people listening to that, of like, male or female, specifically the females listening, sitting in that thought of like, what is my potential here? And what, at the end of the day, they replaced you, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Within a week.
So did you have any anxieties? You were like, no, I'm going to continue on and move forward. And the school replaced you. So I wanted to touch on that because that was very powerful. You said that. So, okay. Yeah. So next step was.
Yeah. So next step was going home and telling my mom. Right?
Back to
right. Right, 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 right. Talking about my mom, who was starting to be happy with me in the fact that I got like quote unquote a big boy job, right, as a teacher. I had a little bit of momentum, right? Yeah, yeah. The entire time before, like from the even my college, it was always stress because I was trying to like prove myself. I was the dog. I was the black sheep, right? So I went to. Now here's the other thing: is when I went to tell my mom. When I first got the job at Bonaventure, they were paying me, I think it was like $30 an hour to be a teacher.
Okay.
Which was, damn, dude. Like, I was making $7.25 an hour.
That's a lot of money.
It's a good salary, right? No benefits, though, right? And stuff like that. So when I told her I got the job at Amgen and they're paying me $18.50, she was like, what are you doing? $30 an hour versus $18. Like, what would you take? I would take that $30 an hour.
Benefits and stuff?
No,
still nothing.
No, okay. It was just a temporary job.
Okay.
It was a 6 month temp job.
Okay.
And so she's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? I'm like, I'm gonna take the risk. And I'm like,
so you were gonna bet on yourself?
I was gonna bet on myself. I was gonna bet on me. And I was like, this is my opportunity. And I could smell it.
What was in your mind when you were looking at those two? What was in your mind that you were like, I know that Amgen's for me? It was just a feeling, or what was
I think for me, all I've ever needed in my life is an opportunity.
Okay.
And once I get that opportunity, it's like a shark smelling blood, right? It's like, just give me that opportunity and I will outwork and out hustle you.
Yeah.
School is different because it's just like, I tried my best to do it. It just wasn't doing it, right? But in terms of like putting in the effort, like when we play football, first one on the field, last one off. Every freaking time.
But school's a little different. At the end of the day, everyone just gets a piece of paper, whether you were first class or last class.
Yeah. But work mentality, I knew when I was at Champs and when I was like working, I had that hustle, right? And so I was like, I just need this opportunity. I know I'm going to make it happen. So I got the job. And when I went to go, please ignore my son in the background if you hear.
He's just a baby. He's just a baby.
When I went to go, on my first day of work, I asked the manager, I asked her kind of bluntly, but politely, like, why did you pick me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I felt like I bombed it, which you probably shouldn't ask as an employee.
Right.
But I just wanted to know, like, what did she see in me? Because like, for me, I always had this like self-conscious feeling of like, I didn't belong, you know? I was like, so why do you feel like I belong? And believe it or not, she liked my interview questions, but what she liked most is as we were leaving and I felt like I bombed the interview, she had to escort me out on the day of the interview. It's all security there at Amgen, right? And so as she's escorting me out, I asked her what she was doing on the weekend. And she was like, oh, I'm taking my son to soccer. And I was like, at this time, Tay was doing soccer. Okay. And I was like, oh, my son's doing soccer too. And I shit you not, before she put her foot down to walk, she stopped. And she looked at me. She was like, you have a son? I was like, yeah, I have a son. And she was like, wait, why didn't you bring that up in the interview? She's like, wait, you went to college and you went to work and you had a son? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, I have a son and it's so hard. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, why did you bring this up in the interview at all? And I was like, because he's not a crutch. He's my motivation.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I know. I was like, wait, I'm about to cry.
Yeah, bro.
And that's what landed it.
That's right.
Yeah. And so.
That rocked me too.
That's my God. Oh, John, that's my God.
So that's what that. So she's like, wow. And that, just that little talk is what helped get me the job. And so when I started working, it just switched for me. So instead of going to school at 6, I would go to work at 6. And I would be off by like 3:30 because it was only 8 hours, right? And so I was the first one literally there because most people showed up at 8. But it was flexible. You could be there in between 6 and 9, she said. So I would show up at 6. I was the first one there. She would always show up at 6 before everyone else. So she saw I was there before everyone else when she showed up. Yeah. And within that 6-month time, I was able to get a full-time job. So instead of being a temp, they put me on to be an actual Amgen employee. And now I have benefits and stock options and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And when I did that, I also enrolled myself into a master's program.
I'm tired just listening.
Yeah. You know, so I enrolled myself in a master's program because I felt like this is my opportunity to now go even further. And so Amgen had a reimbursement program where they would help you pay off your college. So I finished a 2-year master's program in 1 year. I got, I graduated with a B+ overall in my GPA, which was really good. And it was a master of science in biotechnology with an emphasis in biomedical tissue engineering. And so that helped me move up the ladder. 2014, my starting salary was like 65K. 2015, it went up to like about 80K. And then 2016, it was like close to 100. And then 2017, I was 27. Okay. Yeah. So 2014, when I got the job, I was 24 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. So
were you still living with your parents at the time?
Yes. Okay. Right. So 2014, where I was living with my parents. And then those 3 years, because I had been living off of $5,000 a year, and because I had been researching and already trading or investing into the market, by the end of 2016, I made my first $1 million. And I had invested in all like the big names, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google, Tesla. There was this company called OLED. And I made my first $1 million. 2015, I had my first master's. 2017, I got my second master's, which my second master's was an MBA with an emphasis in finance and management. And I moved from working in the lab doing like cancer research to then being in quality assurance. And we worked for the manufacturing department where we oversaw, it was our headquarters. So we oversaw all the manufacturing operations.
You stayed there for a while.
And I stayed there for a long while. I stayed there the rest of my career. And I worked up from just being a quality assurance senior associate to then a manager where I left. During that time I was like in a 6-figure salary. It was like, when I was manager, it was about 130. But throughout that time, once I hit my first meal in 2016, that's when I proposed to Kyan in Paris. So we went to Paris together.
Kyan is his wife. We love her.
Yeah. And to go into that, is Kai has been with Tay and I since Tay was 6 months old. So she is.
What was this from her view? Like,
oh, bro. I mean, you know, it's this, there's this like cliche saying, right? Of like, money gets you the girls you want, struggle gets you the girls you need.
1,000%.
Right.
Wait, hold on. Run that back, please.
Okay. Money gets you the girls you want, struggle gets you the girls you need. And she was everything that I needed.
Aw. No, I'm crying. Guy, he's crying for you.
Yeah.
She's in the back, y'all.
Yeah. And so she's my light.
Yeah.
And we challenged each other to grow. She also went to Cal Lutheran with me.
Okay.
She graduated. At one point, we were both working at Amgen at the same time. And we started from nothing. We literally started from nothing, you know. And we have this beautiful life now. And when I made my money in the market, she was like, you should start a business. And that's when I was a little scared because growing up Hispanic and growing up traditional Hispanic in the how I was raised is you don't talk about your marriage to other people. You don't talk about religion out in public because everyone's different. You don't talk about politics. You don't talk about money.
And you don't talk about money.
Yeah. And you don't talk about your next move.
And you've done everything opposite.
And I did everything opposite.
Literally.
Everything opposite. So when I started talking about money, I initially had this feeling of like people are going to start judging me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
People are going to start like, dude, all you are about money now and blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, you think you're too good? And I'm just like, fuck. But she's like, Andrew, there's so many people that can use your help. And I was like, okay, so.
Yeah, I say that all the time. I come from the accounting world and I'm so used to it. I'm like, what's your car payment? Like, I'll ask people that and people are like, you're so money based because you're so desensitized to it.
Yeah.
But also there's so much power and knowledge behind understanding what other people are going through.
Yeah.
And so I love that you talk about money because I'm like, yes, you might be a millionaire here, but it's like, I was literally dirt poor here.
Dirt poor.
So if I want to share how I got to millionaire, you have to see all the steps. You can't just be like, I'm a millionaire. You know,
I think it's also important.
Power in that.
Absolutely. And I think it's also important that when he speaks, it's not like, hey, look at me on a mountain. It's more like everybody follow me and watch.
Yeah, yeah. I made watch it all up the steps here. That I like,
we can make it up the same mountain.
You can make the same path. Tune in and listen to what I have to say. And he's literally done that since like 2017.
Yeah.
But like one person got. And now it's like how many people like in the program? I mean,
yeah.
It's crazy. So, yeah.
And so then it started with helping a single mom with three kids because I was a single dad. And so I was like, I need to pay it forward. Right.
Okay.
So
this is starting the business.
Starting the business. Right. And so I helped a single mom, three kids. Long story short, today she's a CPA. She's a very successful CPA that works from home. She trades in the market. She makes between $500 to $1,000 a day. She gets to see her kids all day long. I love it. And she's an amazing mom. And so, but I just guided her. It's you have to put in the work.
Yeah.
Right? You got to
Okay. Explain what your business is.
Okay. So what I started doing was teaching people how to invest was the initial thing, was how to invest in the stock market.
Okay.
And then it became how to trade in the stock market. And the why it switched from just investing to then trading was I read this book by, I started in my 20s, I got to a point where I was reading a book a day.
Holy shit.
Like, I shit you not, a book a day. Right now in my 30s, I'm 34, I read about 2 books a week.
Okay,
so it slowed down a little bit, you know.
God, you're failing at life.
Yeah. So. There's this book by Grant Cardone called The 10X Rule. And a lot of it was how you could 10X yourself as a person, but in your business. And I was like, well, all right. I was doing the math. I was like, okay, technically I started investing in 2009. Where the real money came in though was in 2014 when I had my big boy job at Amgen.
Sure.
And I was like, how can I 10X this? How can I go from a million to 10? Okay. Right. And I was like, and I started looking and it was day trading, but then there was all this stigma around day trading of like, you could lose money, people try to time the market, blah, blah. So I took $1 million and I put, of my million, I took 25,000 and I tried to day trade. I blew it all. Okay. However, I saw the potential.
Explain the difference between investing and trading.
Okay, so investing is, I'm going to, everyone has Apple, right? Mm-hmm. iPhone, right? So you invest in Apple shares and I let that sit there for years, right? That's investing. Or like either is a company that I trust and believe in. Yep. So I'm going to put money behind them and own a portion of the company, right? Which are the shares, right? A small little piece. But if that company takes off, those shares are going to grow and I'm going to make a lot of, potentially make a lot of money, mm-hmm. right? And so that's the whole thought process behind investing. Day trading is I don't really care about owning this company or owning these shares. I just want to control it for a certain amount of time and then I'm going to sell it. And from where I bought it to where I sold it, it should be at a profit. And then I'm just going to collect that percentage. Okay. Right. I explain this way more thoroughly. I'm not going to get into like the whole explanation of it, but I teach everybody how to do it, even if you know nothing at all. Okay. I started day trading, but what I saw was the opportunity in time, where before I lost that 25K, is there were days that I would make 5,000 within an hour. There were days I would make 10,000 within an hour.
And that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Because my salary, even when I was making 120K a year, that's $10,000 a month. Mm-hmm. I just made $10,000 in an hour?
Yeah.
Like, dude, hold on here.
Yeah.
Hold on here, right? Because it's time, right? Because in a month, what, that's 40 hours a week times that by four, that's 160 hours to make that 10K. I just 160th my time,
yeah,
right? Substantially. So I'm like, okay, how can I make this more consistent? Because I lost it all. But before I lost it all, like I said, I saw the opportunity. And I'm like, okay, how could I find my edge to be able to just make consistent money and keep my losses small? And then that's where what I have learned in life and in trading and in business, it comes down to this one word or two words, risk management. And how can I mitigate my risk to keep my bottom line low? And then when I make profit, I make really good profit. And so I did it to a point where I was making $1,000 a day. And then when I would lose, I would only lose 500. So this is called like a 2-to-1 ratio. And then mathematically, I only need to be accurate 40% to just break even. Anything more than that in terms of accuracy, I'm going to make money. I'm going to make profit. My first year of doing this, I made about 250K. Second year, it started to grow. Last year alone, we're in 2024. 2023 was a $10 million day trading year for me.
Heck yeah.
You know, and so from the entire, and then as I'm starting to teach people, they started having success themselves. And we went from having zero followers, zero members. Fast forward today, we have 130 something thousand followers on IG. And we have 13,829 members.
That's a huge number.
Yeah. 13,829 members from across the globe. I have people in Dubai, South Africa, Asia, Europe, all over the United States, everywhere.
Okay, I want to rewind. Let's go back. So let's think about the percentage of people listening. They're just starting, right? So let's go back to just starting. I think a lot of the question is, it's the anxiety.
Yeah.
Everyone has bills and people are living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, yeah, like we are a very small percentage of people, which is such a blessing. We never overlook that. But listening in, let's talk to them of like that first day where you're like, I am barely making ends meet. I barely have $30. Mm-hmm. What does that look like?
So now, fortunately, there are workarounds. But when you're struggling, yeah, it's like, that's what makes it so hard, right? Is like, how do I get here first? Because, dang, I got house bills. I can't even
afford. How can I look into the future?
Yeah. My card's getting declined at diapers. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Declined at diapers, right? It's real shit. And so there were moments like, to just go back a little bit before we started getting into this, like there were moments where I just ate fucking PBs and J's.
Yeah.
Like I just made the sacrifice and ate PBs and J's. And Tay and I, like we were living at home. Like I had to make that sacrifice, you know, I couldn't afford to go out.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately, I had a family that would help me. I understand not everyone does, but I believe in this one saying, if you want it bad enough, you'll find a way. Yeah. If you kind of want it, you're going to find an excuse. And I remember when we bought this home, which is for me, I'm not very materialistic. Yeah. You know, I don't need the Lamborghinis. I don't need the fancy stuff.
Yeah, you're pretty mellow.
I'm pretty mellow. I rather use my money to continue to build more money, which we'll get into there. But I remember when we bought this home, it's a beautiful home in Southern California. It's a $1 million home, multi-million dollar home. When Tay had his first room. First room. So I remember when we bought this house, I had put up some posters and stuff, like he's all into basketball, and then seeing him have his first room, his first bed, his own bed.
That's crazy. Did you guys share?
We shared. We had a small, it was smaller than this room that we're in, where it was Kai and I and Tay.
That's crazy.
And our closet looked like a college dorm, and it was like filtered out.
Yeah.
And I just had this dream. I had this vision board.
How does it feel today in the shoes you're in today to be able to live this life?
Some days it feels a little unrealistic, yeah. You know, where it's just like, to date, I'm at about a little north of $2.5 million just trading wise. And it's March. The year's not even over.
Yeah.
And
the year's not even a third of the way through.
It's not even a third. And I remember I had this vision of like what just $1 million would feel like.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it feels surreal. It almost feels like I don't belong here.
Yeah. Imposter syndrome is so real.
It feels like I don't belong here. But then when I look and see all the work that it took to get here, I'm like, I fucking belong here. Yeah.
You've talked a lot about like feeling like you don't belong.
Yeah.
Is that like a common thing? And now you got to look back and be like, no, I do belong.
Yeah, I do belong. And I think that's also part of like how a lot of people feel though.
Yeah.
Where it's
us included,
where it's like, we don't belong, but you got to know your worth. Right. And there's this really cool thing from Steve Harvey, believe it or not. But it talks about how we're all given this gift, and the gift is wings. Okay. So he's like, you can climb up this mountain, right? You can open your gift. While you're on this mountain, you see all these people soaring and having fun. Mm-hmm. And you're on this mountain, you may be safe, right? You're comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people are comfortable. Mm-hmm. Some are more struggling, but a lot of people get into this comfort mentality, right? And so you could jump, but there's the risk of your wings may not open and you fall all the way back down the mountain, and then you have to climb back up, and then you got to jump again. To maybe your wings don't even open that time. But eventually, your gift is going to open, your wings are going to go, and you're going to soar. And so, for me, I looked at life of, I didn't want to just pay bills. I didn't want to just be in the book of Rich Dad Poor Dad, it's called The Rat Race, because you just keep doing the same thing over and over every single day, and it feels like nothingness, right? Yeah. I was like, I want to enjoy life. And for me, I don't invest in material, but I invest in experiences. Going on a nice trip with my family.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that.
Going to Miami, going to New York, going to staying at the nicest places. So
Andrew is the cutest guy ever. He literally is always taking his friends and family on vacation. They'll always text us and say, do you guys want to meet us here? And we love it. I love it. It's my favorite thing about you guys, is you guys are just always as a family doing stuff. And yeah. I assume you take the bill for it all.
Everything.
And that's a huge thing too, of like your family, to just be able to spoil them. That is like what fuels my fire. I'm like, to just be able to be like, yeah, come and you don't even have to worry about how you're going to eat dinner. Or like, I don't want you to stress about this dinner, so like you can eat when you get back home. Like that's such a beautiful thing in life.
Yeah. And that's and Kai hasn't worked in 4 years. Or
it's work, Carter, man.
How does Carter? Carter's going to be 3. Sorry. In about 3 to 4 years. Carter had life-saving surgery at 6 months, so she stayed home, and then the business, I just doubled down on the business, and I doubled down on my trading, and everything took off, and now...
Carter heard us talking about her.
Talking about him. Now I'm in this place where I don't work at Amgen. I retired, and going into that story, people always ask, well, why did you keep working when you made your first meal in 2016? My goal is to always pay it forward. So when I got manager, I wanted to do what my manager did for me, the first one, when she gave me that job, when I didn't really deserve it, where I felt like I didn't deserve it. She gave me hope. And so I wanted to give other people hope. So I stayed at Amgen until I hired people that I knew. And I hired on people that I didn't know, and maybe didn't have all the check marks, but had all the potential in the world. Like they were another Andrew. They just needed somebody to just back them. To just believe in them. And I did that. And then so when I did that, I was like, I feel fulfilled. And that is how I live my life now. To me, people get happy from like little material, or like maybe a new purse or a new car or whatever. Like there are certain happinesses. Like I could go and eat ice cream and be happy for like a little bit.
Yeah.
But
helping someone is crazy fulfillment.
But fulfillment is a different thing.
Yeah.
Happiness and fulfillment are two different things. And it's like, what makes you fulfilled? Because I have a lot of people that I know now that are rich or wealthy, and they're the most unhappy people in the world. Some of them.
Yeah.
The ones that are very happy, they look internally, right? They look at what makes them happy. I think there's 5 main components of life: health, wealth, love, happiness, and faith.
Sure.
I think those are the 5.
But those 5 are all subjective to everybody.
To everybody.
Yeah. Everybody. So yeah. Whatever your felt like your faith, no matter what, it all is to you. And what is like your wealth is different than our wealth, and his wealth is different than my wealth. All of it.
It's all just internal. And it doesn't have to be a wealth in terms of finance. It can be a wealth.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly. But that exactly.
Friendship.
It's all different, and it's all subjective.
To the person.
Yeah. And so as long as you are touching those 5 things and trying to maximize those, and then taking whatever knowledge you get, which is the 6th component, and then sharing that, and of being of service to people, it just to me, for me, that makes me the most fulfilled. When I can help somebody, I've had students that lived in a van that had only $5,000 to their name, that saved every single dollar, started Uber driving and Lyft driving to buy my program. And now they have one student that had been doing it for 3 years, made north of $250,000. Life-changing money for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I have this 19-year-old where his mom, his father passed away, unfortunately. But he's been able to make some money to help with bills. And he's like, this is like huge for us because like otherwise we would be struggling. Yeah. And it's stories like that and getting that feedback of like, dang, this inspired me. Or like stay-at-home moms. Like I get a lot of stay-at-home moms where it's just like they want to feel like they can contribute. You know, because the husband's always working and times are hard. So they see their husband stressing out and they're like, I just want to be able to contribute and help. How, and they feel like this was their way because, again, it's freedom. All I need is a laptop and Wi-Fi. I need to learn first, but I can do this, right? If I can learn. And so some of them are killing it.
Yeah.
And so all around, it's been just a positive thing.
I love it.
It's funny because a lot of people don't know this, but even during those times when Andrew was working at Champs and living at his parents' home, their house, with Tay, he was still then trying to get his shirt off his back. When he didn't have his on his.
I believe it.
And I'm telling you guys, we're coming up on 20 years of friendship. 2025 will be 20 years. And the fact that like...
Well, really?
Yeah.
Craziness.
Yeah, if I do the math correctly, 2004 we started, 2005 you came, something like that, It was something like around there,
This coming up on 20 years.
Yeah, oh, okay, so 2024,
Because 2004.
Yeah, boom. So, crazy. I know, please stop, because it's not how old am I?
But, literally.
but yeah, even then, literally, you were just so giving then, and you didn't have it. So then, when we fast forward, and a lot of people we know now, but me using my hands.
Yeah, but
my hands are not using. I'm not using it. But even then, it was like, so you were always super like, just humble about everything that you did and how you spoke, and just so cool. And then we fast forward, and we have like a lot of friends in like high places together, and they're like, "Man, hey, man, how was Andrew back then?" And I'm like, "Probably won't believe me, but he literally was the same person. I'm just super." Super nice, like obviously, like not a pushover, but nice enough to be like, "Listen, here's my shirt.
Yeah,
here's this. I have half of a cup. You can have the other half. Like, we can split it. Like, it's just so crazy." And now, I used to tell Arthur that he was talking about earlier. It makes sense why these blessings came, because you just stayed to the fact of like a pure heart.
Yeah,
I just felt like you always had a pure heart then, and like now. And it's so crazy. And I asked you one day, why don't you just close you can close your door and do this trading and invest by yourself. And he had wrote me back that that's not the purpose and that's not my calling. And this was like 2020.
Everybody. Because so his program, when you buy into it, you trade live with everyone every morning. Yeah. Most mornings, almost every morning.
And so I was blown away by that.
And that's something that when we first found that out, we were like,
yeah.
What? So when you buy into it, not only are you getting the education, but you're also getting the live lesson. And then also like, hey, we're investing into this. Hey, this and this is about to happen. Hey, this and this is happening.
This is what I'm watching.
Hey, this is what I'm getting into. And yes.
Yep.
And I think that's another insane thing, because a lot of people, it's just like, here, buy my program. Give me your money.
See you later.
And then good luck. Whatever you learn from it is what you learn from it. And it's like, you're like, let's do this together every single day.